mercy. We're grateful for a love that is truly everlasting, a love that went beyond our faults and saw our needs and brought us into the kingdom, the dear kingdom of God, through your dear Son. We were lost. We were undone, without any hope. But, Father, you have saved us, and we thank you for that. Tonight, Father, we are excited about what you are doing in your church, and we're very proud of that. And so, Father, I'm grateful for everyone that's here, and I pray, Father, that you're going to help us all to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears what it is that you're doing in your church and what you want to do with your church. So we say thank you for that, and we pray that, Father, we're honoring you tonight in the way that we handle ourselves, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Wow, it's a good crowd. I'm very grateful for everyone here. Can I tell you what I'm really grateful for? I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for what God does through the membership of this church. There's a lot of things that go on continually without really much thought. There's nursery things that go on. There's Sunday school things that go on. There's VBS, Awanas. There's just a myriad of things that go on, and they continue to go on, and we are grateful for that. I'm also grateful for the fact that we can attend services here. We can meet services here on Sunday morning. That was a wonderful service, in my opinion, from this morning. Amen, wasn't it? I mean, the choir, everyone did a great job. I was proud to be a part of it, and to be a part of what God said through me that morning, too. And I hope you all take these things to heart. I'm proud to be a part of a church that has Sunday evening. We have some exciting things that we're going to be doing on Sunday evenings. Not that things in the past were not exciting, but we've got some things that we believe are going to help build the kingdom of God. And I'm very excited about we are a church that has Wednesday evening. We have Bible study, and we will continue to have Bible study, and we're excited about that. So we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. You know, we're focusing on it, and we're going to do our best with it. And we're here in this assembly to disciple, just like I said this morning. It's part of our DNA. And in fact, if we're not replicating ourselves through attrition, we will go away. We will go away as a church. We will go away as a people. So here's an eternal reality for us. We've got to remember this. We are his church. Can you say that with me? We are his church. All of us together make up his body. And we are his body. The Apostle Paul writes about this reality in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 2. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but as all the members of that one body, being many, all are one body, so also is Christ." Now, the Holy Spirit gives this imagery of a body, and we're all familiar with a body. We all possess one. We either treat our body well, or we don't treat our body so well. What I know about the body is that there's many different parts. I remember reading something from a personal study that I've been going through this past week in preparation for Wednesday nights. We're talking about the walking with God through pain and suffering. And a doctor writes this. Seen a lot of different things in emergency rooms in New York City. Just amazingly awful things. Children taken away, parents in the prime of their life, diagnosis not so good. And it really troubled her. But as she went along in her practice, she began to realize this, that she was simply amazed just to the simple fact that life is so fragile, it's simply amazing that it does continue at all. And as I contemplated that, I thought about the life of a church. And when you get down to it, I talked earlier in this introduction, I said, you know, I'm very proud of everything that's done here, and I see great things happen through this church. But I also know that there can be those things that go on in church, they're not conducive to life. They're not conducive to replicating yourself. They're not conducive to carrying on. So we need to remember, we've got to function together as one. Right? That's important, isn't it? That's what I intend to do. So there's something I want us to notice in verse 15. It says this: if the foot shall say to the, behold, I'm not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not part of the body? When I read that verse, I thought about communication. And so I want to lay the groundwork of what we're trying to do in these meetings. This is not the only meeting. This meeting may be a little longer than what these are going to typically take, because we have things that we haven't been able to share in this kind of format. But it's important for us to know, in a word, it's important for us to communicate, to be able to share. Clearly, the church as a body needs to communicate. My brain is communicating to my mouth to say some things. My brain is also communicating to my hands to move and sort of give you the idea that I'm very passionate about what I'm talking about here. And that's what this meeting is about. It's what the next meeting will be about. Four of these a year, and it's about this church as a body to clearly and lovingly to communicate. So, what are we trying to communicate? What are we trying to say? Well, prayer. There's concerns. For us to be united, we need to be praying together in unity. See, the ministry of this church, and ministries, I should say, the mission, the vision, the discipleship needs of this church is a point of prayer for everyone sitting in this room. It's for a point of prayer for everyone involved in every aspect of this ministry. Everyone that's a member should be praying for the overall health, well-being of this ministry. We want everyone, and this is my heart, we want everyone to be a part of what is going on, to understand what is going on to the best of their ability, the best of my ability to explain it, and the other pastors, the other elders, that they're going to be talking about some things. And we want to pray about these things together. Because I believe that prayer, as I talked about this morning, we see this continually in the book of Acts, and they prayed, and they prayed. So we're going to pray together. So when you come to these meetings, I hope and pray you're bringing a pen and pencil, or if you're electronically capable and have a notepad, an iPad, or a Samsung Note like I like to use, that you're writing these things down. You're recording these things. These are things that I need to continue to remember because they are the things that are going to make the positive difference to this church. But it's not only about praying together. It's also about getting involved. Sometimes people just don't get involved because they don't know where to get involved. They don't know that I can be in here. So there's two common points that I see about the church in Acts. They had to get started. Everything has a start. Upward had a start. Awana had a start. Nursery had a start. Sunday school had a start. Classes come and classes do go. And there has to be a starting point. Sometimes it's such an act of faith to start something. We want to rely on the tried and true. And I'm not knocking the tried and true. But as I've talked to you a couple weeks ago in regards to sometimes we've got to let go of some good things that we can grasp the greater thing, the better thing. And that's what's going to make a difference in the life of this church. So if I seem passionate about this tonight, if I seem a little preachy about this tonight, this is my heart. You've called me to be the pastor, and I'm going to do my best to be the pastor. I'm going to do my best to lead this congregation. So there are many exciting things over the years as I think about what the Lord has done. And I want to share my heart. There are many more exciting things ahead. The Lord's not done with this place yet. He's not done with me. He's not done with any of you. So let's be open. Let's be receptive to what God wants to do. You know, he says in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and to give you hope." Now, God was speaking that to the nation of Israel, but man, I can find application in that. God is preparing us for greater things. I stand ready to to allow him to do greater things through me. And I hope and pray that is your heart's desire as well. So I welcome you tonight. And so we're going to begin. We're going to begin sharing some things. So make sure, I'm going to ask our men to come up here and assemble that have some things to share with me as well. So we're going to be sharing some things. And these things are important. Some of them are things that you may already know. Some of them may be some new things to you. So I think we're missing Brent Kurgis. There you go, Brent. All right. Because you were first up, Brent. So there's... But Brent's going to be talking just briefly about a couple of financial things. There's some neat things going on there as well. So, Brent, go ahead.
Didn't even give me a chance to sit down. Right. Actually, I'm excited to share what I'm going to share. God has clearly been blessing through all of you. So it's exciting to share where we are financially so far. Brian, if you want to throw that first slide up there for me. I did slides. So you better get busy. Go on. And I apologize, my text to Brian didn't get through quite quick enough. That is actually January through June, first 6 months, not January through July. That's my error. This is a snapshot of where we are, our income versus the expected or budget income versus actual income. Same thing on the expense side. And as I said, God has blessed greatly so far this year. We were anticipating income in the amount of $267,990. Roughly half of the year. In reality, our actual income was $354,994, just a touch over $87,000 brought in, more than what we expected to bring in. So that's a huge praise the Lord. That's 132.5% or 32.5% more than what we expected. Expenses were more than expected as well. A couple of reasons for that, as I'll explain here. The budgeted expenses for that first six-month period were $270,248. Actual expenses were $296,575, or we were $26,327 over in expenses, which is 109.7% of our budgeted expenses. So we were, fortunately, higher on the income overage than we were on the expense overage. We anticipated at this point in the year to be in the hole, I guess you'd say, $2,587. Some expenses are anticipated to be at the beginning of the year, more than the end of the year. In reality, we were to the good $60,677. So that's a swing of $63,254. Some of the reasons we saw the expense over what we had anticipated. The first is missions. As you remember, our missions giving, both to the NFBC directed and to the cooperative program, is a percentage of our income. Our income is higher, our mission giving is higher. And that's a great thing. So that's a chunk of that income in excess, expense in excess. The first item is our, second item is our mortgage payment. We budgeted $8,000 per month to be put towards the $13,000 annual mortgage payment, monthly mortgage payment from the regular tithes and offerings. The remainder of that from the Pressing Toward the Mark campaign. Unfortunately, the income on the Pressing Toward the Mark side has not been as high as that had been historically. So we've had to pull a little bit more out of the general budget, so to speak, for the mortgage payment. To date, year to date, that's been $10,000 more than anticipated, or roughly $2,000 a month. And then a few other items. Some of the expenses were incurred toward the beginning of the year or during the first 6 months of the year, more so than the second half. The Finance Committee met last month, went through every single line item, where we were budget year to date. Some things just had to be done at the beginning of the year. Some of the annual software licensing all came due in the first 6 months. We had some repairs that had to be done. So we anticipate that those areas, those line items, will be spending less the second half of the year, or in some cases, they're done for the year. So many of those will come back in line. So where do we expect to be at the end of the year? Now, obviously, these are our projections. There we go. We can't say exactly what's going to happen, but if things track the way they are, and if things Some of the changes we're making as far as some of those budget line items, not anticipating some of those items being spent during the second half. Our budgeted income for the year is $535,980. We project it will be right about $640,000, or about $104,000 in excess of what we had anticipated, about 120%. Expenses, budgeted expenses are $535,902. We expect we'll come in somewhere right around $575,000. Again, over budget on expenses, but remember, again, we've got the missions, which is an automatic increase, and then the mortgage area. So we expect to be about $26,000, a little more than that, over in the expense side. But after those two items are looked at, we should be about $65,000 to the good, income more than expenses over the full year. Again, that's our projections. We have no idea what's going to happen the rest of the day. Forget about the rest of the year, but that's where we anticipate. Any questions on those basic budget items?
Yeah. The
yes.
That is
general tithes and offerings. Some of those items that we see in the first 6 months are gifts given towards some of our capital projects, which would include the parking lot, some of the work we're doing in the back. That's why you'll see, you know, right now we're at 132% of income. We're only projecting 119%. That's why I'm not projecting 132%, because some of the income year to date are those capital. The one thing is it does not include are the special mission offerings, the Annie Armstrong, the Lottie Moon. Those are not budgeted, therefore they're not included in the budgeted numbers. Whatever is given is sent straight to those two items. Any other questions? One other item that I want to bring up is, you can go to the next slide there, Brian. We're looking at, we have not made a final decision yet. The Finance Committee and the trustees are reviewing this opportunity right now. Mark spoke with our representative at the North American Mission Board, NAM, that holds the loan for the Family Life Center. If you remember, one of the reasons we went with North American Mission Board is a very large percentage of the interest on that loan, the interest that we are paying monthly, goes right back into the mission fund. So one of the big reasons we went with NAM. We are looking at extending the life of that loan by 5 years. That also locks in the rate for an additional 5 years. This is a commercial loan, so automatically those rates are adjusted every 3 to 5 years. Unfortunately, it's not like your home loan where it's locked in for the life of the loan. There are no fees, no charges for restructuring this loan. The current monthly mortgage payment is $13,647.48. That loan rate actually did drop a little bit recently. The new monthly rate will be, new monthly payment will be $11,600. Approximately, the final numbers are not worked out yet. So that'll be a savings of just a little over $2,000. That's that $2,000, that extra $2,000 that we've had to pull out of the general fund, so to speak, to cover that on the monthly basis. So again, no final decision has been made there. Trustees and the Finance Committee is reviewing that. Finance Committee will be meeting next month, taking a look at those numbers again, but that is one thing that we are considering. Any questions on that? Yes? 25 years, and we are five and a half years in. Other questions?
The Press Toward Tomorrow campaign, how long was that set for?
Originally, it was set for 3 years, so we are already past the end of that. Finance Committee will be discussing that, and you'll see some new things regarding that here pretty soon, next year. A couple of different options. Honestly, I can't say at this point because we don't know. A couple of different options, how we redo that, reintroduce that, maybe take a break. I mean, honestly, the lion's share of the loan now is coming from the general fund. 10 of the 13 is already so far this year, and if it's dropped to 11, you know, it's only, you know, it's 90% of the loan is coming from the general fund today. Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say if it'll be the next regular business meeting. A lot of it depends on how long it takes to get all the numbers back from NAM. But at the next one after all the information is gathered together. Other questions? All right, thank you.
So, trustee report, asked to talk about the different projects we've been doing, are doing, and will be hopefully doing. So, just the past 12 months, we really haven't done anything big and major like we did the remodel a few years ago. One of the things that we did do that was needed was the outside of the gym wall that faces the highway side had a lot of water damage. We had to have a lot of stucco repair done on that. And then the other kind of smaller project is if you go down the hallway just past the nursery, room 208 used to have two doors to it on the opposite side away from the main hallway. We've closed those up and added a doorway to the hallway so it becomes part of the main traffic way, so it's easily found and accessible type thing. Actively, if you walked also back toward the nursery, you'll see that we've combined rooms 203 and 204. To be a little bit larger for the kids that are in that room. They used to have to walk out of 203, go around the hallway and into 204. Now it's all one big room. Still working on it. Drywall should be finished here shortly so we can start the painting and ceiling work and flooring. Actually, we're gonna be doing some AC work in there too a little bit. Also on top of that, we're going to be redoing the corridor hall flooring along that same area. So basically there'll be two rooms left that we still need to update the flooring on. That's rooms 205 and 206. Getting all that done hopefully by the end of August is what our plan is. We had donations to do that work. I think close to $3,000 was donated from the homeschool group that meets here on a regular basis to help with their helping them because they have a better room for their usage, but also helping us type thing for our usage. Future projects that we've talked about and beat it around our heads and things that we know need to be done, trying to figure out timing is always a fun part. One of the things is obviously not the gym, but the rest of the bathrooms need to be updated. Some of the obviously, color schemes are now outdated, but also there's some things that need to be improved and worked on to make it more presentable for our guests that do come. Carpet areas that haven't been touched at all. Some people may not even know where these carpet areas are when I mention them. There's staircases that go back behind me that go down to the offices. Those have not been touched. The staircase right outside the sanctuary here on the right that goes down to the offices and up to the balcony has not been touched either since the date that they built this, which was what, 83. So something on the future forecast. Also is the enlarging of the stage to provide more room for more talent up there. As you already have noticed, it is a cramped space, and if you are part of that team, you're asking me almost weekly, when can we get more space? So that is definitely on the forecast. One of the I would almost say sore topics in some of the trustees' discussions has been what to do about the carpet in the gym. We know that's going to be coming, that we need to really get into it. We've had a few bids on what needs to be done and how we need to replace it or repair it. With the age that's already on the tiles that are there, and they're not really in a good shape to be able to be used again and repaired, it is going to be a replacement. There are obviously the darker color tiles were a lot higher grade of a carpet, and those could probably stay, so we'll have to be doing stuff around the darker colors. But more discussions on that to come. And then the overhang that we use right outside the sanctuary. If from a distance you look at it, it does not match the stucco finish that we have on the gym. So we'd like to try to get that to match a little bit better. And actually, from a distance, it kind of looks pink, where everything else is more of a tan color type thing. So that's one of the things that we are also looking at to hopefully doing. To say when, it kind of depends on the money situation and also timing and the right people to do the work. So any questions? Yeah. Yes, that's part of the corridor that will be done also by the end of August. Yeah. One thing I did forget to mention is kind of touched on a little bit on the finance side is the parking lot. That is being resealed and restriped. It should start tomorrow. As far as looking at the weather, it could be challenging for them to get it all done next week, so we'll have to play that by ear. But they have already told me that they're definitely going to make sure that whatever area is being done, there is another area to get in type thing, and things will be marked off fairly clearly on where to go and how to get in and out of the building as needed during the days that they're still working type thing. We have talked about the lights in here multiple times. You've been one to ask the question multiple times. We haven't gone into any kind of detailed investigation of what that would take to determine what needs to happen for the lighting. I do know we have looked at stage lighting situations and stuff. If you are a person that's on the stage, you have lights all coming at you, but you have no backlight, so it's kind of hard to see things in front of you on the podiums or whatever. That kind of stuff we had looked into, and we're looking at a $20,000 to $25,000 bill to just do the stage lighting. I don't know what it would take as far as what we'd need as far as the main house lighting to really even answer that. So, anything else? All right.
Well, I have a few things to say, and then we're going to ask Jeff to come and share some things as well before some other guys. Actually, Thad will be next. But I want to talk to, as Southern Baptists, one of the things that we do is we cooperate. We cooperate together. And we're excited about the mission opportunities that are before us. Pastor Matt and I are going to Canada, and we're going to be on a trip there to find out exactly where we're going to be partnering with and who we're going to be partnering with in a mission work in Canada. And so where your hopes and aspirations are that we're going to send mission teams sometime next year to Canada for a week and do some mission work in the city of Quebec. Some of you may know and some of you may not know, but a very secular society. The lostness there is just immense, and we have an opportunity and we have an obligation to go to the people that look a lot like us and may act a lot like us, but haven't heard about Jesus. And it's just beyond me to think that someone in North America doesn't have access to a church or a Bible or anything of that nature. So we are excited about that. We are part of SEND North America, and the focus is for us to go into this continent and do some gospel evangelism. Because of that association with SEND North America, we have prayed and have spoke with the deacons, went over it with the pastoral team, and we feel that it is time for us to make a move in our association who we're involved with, and we are led to be involved with the Cincinnati Baptist Association. It is the largest association in Ohio. It has church plants. There are mentoring potentials that we have within this association. Pastor Matt and myself will be mentoring young pastors, planters. There are ethnic churches in the Cincinnati Association. We're going to be doing some things with RAs and GAs with them and some mission projects with them. There's just a great opportunity for us to work. And it's just not, it's not that we are, we have anything against the Southwestern Baptist Association. I've spoke with Steve. He understands our heart here, and he has certainly been very gracious in this matter. But he understands that where we're at as a church and as we are as a congregation and with the mission emphasis that we have here at this church, that this is the right move for this church. So we will be moving to the Cincinnati Association by the end of the year, at the end of the year, and be affiliated with them. Over the past several VBSs, we've been blessed to be able to utilize the block party trailer that they have. It's an awesome trailer. I seen you hauling it the other day, Dwayne. Weren't you hauling it or something from? No? Okay. Well, anyway, I thought I saw you hauling it. But there, it's just a good fit. We're excited about that, and they are too. And so if you have any questions about that, certainly would be happy to try to do my best to answer that at this time. But we really see that as a just a wonderful opportunity for our missions to emphasis here with our kids to really take a good root. Okay.
Pastor, that's subject to the association there accepting us.
Yeah, that's true. They have to. Yeah, they have to.
There's a process.
There is a process. They're reviewing our constitution right now, and we will make a formal appeal to them October 17th, if I remember correctly. So. And we still will continue to have affiliation with the Southwestern Baptist Association. If there's a need there for our facility and anything they're doing, they're certainly welcome to what we have. You know, it's not that we're not going to be cooperating with them, but for meetings and affiliation, this is the right thing for us to do as a church at this time in our church life. Okay? Yes. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, it's the largest Southern Baptist Association in Ohio. Is that right, Dwayne, or close to it? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, no. No, no. I would not lead us in that direction. So, all right. But good question. Yes. No, we still will be doing things for them, involved with them, and I believe we, out of our direct admission fund, there is some.
That's where that comes out of.
Yeah, it comes out of the direct admission fund.
It doesn't come through
what we give to the association does not fund that. We fund that work directly through the North Fairfield Baptist direct admission fund. Okay. So, yeah, and we're still going to be involved with that with our youth. And Larry's got some news about the youth search, so I won't steal his thunder.
Go ahead.
But does that answer your question, Aura? Okay. Any other question? Good question. Because these are things I didn't think of. But, yeah, we're still directly involved with them. And Pathway to Hope, I know we have several ladies. Thad is on the board at Pathway to Hope. Faye's back there somewhere. She's very heavily involved. You know, there's a lot of people involved. Genesis, I know that you're not a part of Halfway to Hope. I see her shoe. All right. Well, thank you for that, for being receptive to that. So we'll go ahead and move on to discipleship. As I talked about this morning, it is the life essence of who we are. We do need to be discipling. And we've talked about our values, our plans, and we're working on just doing that. A lot of success has come from the small group that Pastor Thad has been a part of leading. Back when he and Louise first came to this church, a little bit after they were here, he approached me about leading a small groups class. And so we didn't say reluctantly, but we said yes very willfully. And I want you to know that the impact that small groups has had on this church has been phenomenal. I mean, I'm looking around at the people that I know that were personally involved in that class. Some of the classes took place back in Ed Farmer's old Sunday school room. Some of them, and most of them, have taken place at Thad's house or Larry's house, a couple different houses. But the folks that have been involved with that small group have been nothing short of phenomenal. They have been active in the ministry. They're active in leadership. They're active in winning people to the Lord. And so it just makes good sense for us to really approach this with the heart of God and to go after this. So Matt and Thad both are working on establishing additional home groups. And so with that, I'm going to ask Thad to come and to share his vision, church's vision on that.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you for not making me sit on a stool, a man my size. I didn't want to give you all any ammunition for a joke. Let me just share a little bit regarding life groups, may I? The heart of a New Testament church are groups. And in my view, the greatest group is Sunday school. There's no substitution for Bible study. And folks gathering together on the Lord's Day, typically prior to a worship service, to look at God's Word and to share their lives with one another. But whether it's this church or any other church you've been associated with through the years, or that you're familiar with, just think about all the groups. They come and they go. We've got a women's Bible study group here at North Fairfield. We have a small group at North Fairfield of adults of all ages that meets in a home, a life group. And that's what Pastor was referring to here that meets in my home. Sometimes that same group meets in Logan and Joan Murphy's home, for example. We also have a New Testament church also needs to have, in my view, life groups. So we will continue our efforts for groups, and we'll continue our efforts for groups and do it in the home. Now, this is a little different than in-home Bible studies. Anybody as old as me, and I'm old as Methuselah, can remember in-home Bible studies in Southern Baptist life. Can I just see your hands? Remember that? Now, sometimes the Bible got studied, and sometimes some gossip got accomplished. That's not what a life group is. The five functions of a New Testament church include outreach, which is evangelism, worship, we accomplish that on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesdays, fellowship, service, which is ministry and mission, and I'm delighted that we are continuing with our mission program here at our church, even through the Cincinnati Association in the coming days. But the fifth function of a New Testament church is discipleship. You and I need to make other you and I's.
That's right.
That's what discipleship's all about. Amen. And so the best way to do that is relational. And through a relational group setting where one feels safe, where one feels interdependent or accountable to one another, where one feels transparent, where one shares one's life, and where one has a little Bible study. That's a life group. Typically, life groups occur off campus. Now, what Pastor was referring to back in the Sunday school room that we all know as Farmer's Sunday school room, Ed Farmer's room, when we started Awana, we wanted a way to capture the parents of the kids who were brought to Awana and new folks that came to the church. We wanted to assimilate those folks. So the Clappers got assimilated. The Williamsons got assimilated. The Hurst got assimilated. The Isaacs got assimilated. The Griggses got assimilated. That assimilation can continue in life groups, and furthermore needs to, relationally, to fulfill the command of our Lord, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then the Word of God says, Amen. So, the best way to do that in a life of a New Testament church is through life groups. The whole idea is to fulfill the great commission of the Word of God, of the Lord, as put in the Word of God for us. And then the best way to do that is where a person can feel relational. The church grows bigger by growing smaller. And that's the whole idea of Sunday school as well, isn't it? You know, a seventh grader is not going to speak up in front of a senior, and a sophomore in high school is not going to speak up and somebody is ready to graduate from college. So we find life groups for all, and we'll unfold it just one phase at a time. I still have a proposal to put forward to Pastor Mark and Pastor Matt. The three of us will pray about that, and the three of us will tweak that. But we anticipate inviting folks to come for training. And if you come for training after you're invited to come, then you will be in two groups. You'll be in the group that you'll have at your home, and then you'll be in the group of leaders who will be trained, so we can be interdependent with one another. Our desire is to draw people closer to Christ and others by creating a relational environment. Our desire for life groups is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Our desire is to have life groups become the focus of the church. And our desire is to have the life groups become the heart of the church, so that we, as a church, as a body of believers, can fulfill the five purposes and functions of a New Testament church: outreach, worship, fellowship, service, which is ministry and mission, and discipleship. And the best way we think we can accomplish that is in a relational format of life groups. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, hold on just a second, Dad. Does anybody have any questions of Thad before I speak just a little bit more toward it?
How soon are we looking to get started?
I don't know. We had hoped to have something up and running the first Sunday in September. That's not going to happen. Yeah. Pastor Matt's on his sabbatical. We've not been able to meet given his schedule, my schedule through the summer like we'd like. So we'll unfold it likely before Thanksgiving is my guess, subject to pastor's approval and our scheduling needs of the church.
Okay. So I don't want to get too technical, but of course I've been preaching this across our state for years now in all of our churches. So I'm very excited.
Would you be on board with it then, I guess?
Sorry?
Would you be on board on with it, I guess?
You'd be in favor of it.
So, I don't want to get in front of a horse here, so.
Then don't.
Okay. So you can just tell me to shut up. Structure. What we're saying is that if you're part of a life group, then we're not asking you to also be part of the Sunday school.
I wouldn't make that distinction, and I'm not prepared to make that distinction in discussion tonight.
Okay.
Nothing overrides Sunday school.
Groups for,
yeah,
regardless of what group you're in.
Yes.
So we'll leave it at that as you continue to map that out. The other question would be, what are you considering in the way of curriculum?
Well, I've got two thoughts to share with Pastor and Matt at that time.
Okay. Yeah.
What I use on a personal basis is James McDonald.
Okay.
We use a DVD format, and he does the teaching.
Good enough. Anyone else?
Okay, I want you to understand, too, on Wednesday nights, we are continuing with our Bible study. And so that will be between Pastor Matt, myself, some other teachers as well. But Wednesday night will still look like Wednesday night when it comes to the Bible study. So for those who want the prayer time, for those who want the traditional Bible study, that will be available. And it'll go back and forth between Matt and myself. And Will fills in admirably at time to time when we need that, when constraints are placed upon Matt and I that we can't do it together or to be a part of it. So did want you to know that. We're going to also talk about something that I believe is going to be a big blessing. As we move ahead, I want to talk about the music ministry, and one of the things that we need to do in the evening service is to move our service to line more in time with the Awana time. And so we're moving the evening service to 5:30. Awana is here at 5:20, so that just makes sense. Also, it gives our folks time to be here a little bit earlier and also to be out potentially a little bit quicker as well. I'll have Jeff come and speak to some of the things we're going to be doing with choir and praise team on Sunday. But one of the aspects that we want to do, we have, I know Thad and Tony and some other guys, Ethan, have done a very admirable job on Sunday nights. But we wanted the opportunity to give young preachers, young church planters, young missionary guys, an opportunity to speak to a congregation, to preach to a congregation. And I know when I was young and green, and I'm just old and green now, but when I was young and green, that was such a viable part of my training.
That's right.
Just to get up to preach. You learn by doing. And so we are having an opportunity. Ethan's actually set, and we love Ethan, and it's not picking on Ken or picking on Ethan, but we've got Ethan set for one Sunday a month during the wintertime. We're going to have Ethan preach one Sunday a month. And, I mean, the guy, we love the guy, think the world of him, but we also are going to take time. Matt and I will still be doing some Sunday nights, but we also are going to take some time to have some of these younger guys come in and have them preach. There's not an honorarium involved with it. We're going to give them a little gift card to somewhere. That's all that it takes for them to come and have them, give them the opportunity to learn by doing. And Matt and I will be sort of critiquing them. As they look upon you, they will tell whether you like it or not. So, I mean, those are important things. But it's just an exciting thing to do. So the evening service, starting September 6th, will move to 5:30. And that's not that big of a move, but it's still a move nonetheless. And we are going to have that opportunity to have some of these church guys come in, church planters. So, Jeff, would you come and share what's going to go on with the music ministry on Sunday evenings?
Pastor, may I now add, that strikes me as an opportunity for our church to continue in our missions by giving these folks opportunities to preach. You all are fun to preach to. And so we can make an investment in the life of these church planters and young pastors. That'd still be a mission effort on our part, wouldn't it?
Amen. 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 You know, Brother Thad, I'm not sure if this is what you were referring to when you were talking about the old school in-home Bible studies. I remember the cottage prayer meetings. Of course, what I remember, I was just a little kid. I remember we terrorized the neighborhoods of the house that was happening in while our parents were inside doing we have no earthly idea what. So... that's what I remember about that.
Well, each group's responsible for how they handle child care. we'll get into details later.
Psalm 33, it says, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise benefits the upright." And I love that last phrase because praise is good for us as we exalt our King and our Savior. I love standing on Sunday mornings and exalting my King and my Savior with every ounce of my being. I don't know how else to do it. And our prayer is that as we have the opportunity to stand on the platform and to lead and to minister to you, that you grasp a hold of that and you pour yourself into that praise as you take it to the throne as an offering every Sunday morning. It goes on, though, to say, "Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts." We believe that God has called us to do what we do on the music side of the ministry with skill. To do that, it requires practice. And we are excited with the move of the Sunday evening service to 5:30. We are going to now move our weekly rehearsal to Sunday evenings. The Sunday evening service will be 5:30 to 6:15. We will start our practice at 6:30. It's going to allow, what excites us is it's going to allow those who struggle on Wednesdays to get here at 6 o'clock because of work schedules. Sunday is already blocked off for most for church, so they're already here. It just gives us an opportunity for them not to have the pressure through the week of trying to get here for practice. Also, those who are not able to make it through the week because of working second shift, they're now able to participate with the team on a regular basis. So we are thrilled and excited about that opportunity. Our choir practice will continue first and second Sunday nights of the month. If our worship team is already here practicing, we can then just roll right into choir practice. So it makes a good fit in what we're doing. We're excited about it. We're also excited with the partnership that Pastor Mark was talking about with the Cincinnati Area Baptist Association and allowing other young preachers and missionaries to come in and speak. We're also offering that to any young worship leader who may want some experience. Just give him a platform to practice on us as he develops his craft in what God has called him to do. So we're excited about those things. We will begin first Sunday of September is a day before a holiday, so we don't have evening service that night. But the second Sunday of September, that Sunday night, we'll kick things off with all of that. So those of you who are on the worship team, that's your final notice. You know you need to stick around after church Sunday evening. That second Sunday. But we're excited about that, and we're looking forward to it.
All right. Hold on a second. Any questions of Jeff or myself? Yes, Brother Arnie.
Some of the people who work at the Wants
mm-hmm.
are also on the praise team.
That's a good question.
The only folks who are part of our praise team that are part of Awana are a couple of the high school students. We're just going to have to work that out. So they have one. We've changed our schedule. We're praising the Lord that he's brought more people to our praise team, our vocal team. Every vocal team member is only once a month. That frees them up to be involved in some other ministry aspects. So those high school students that are working in Awana will just have to. Our practice is late enough that they're missing book time or that they can be there for book time. The second part of Awana, they'll just have to be freed up to be in practice that one Sunday night a month. But choir's not until after Awana's over. Currently, choir starts at 6:45, so Awana's over at 7 o'clock, so that frees. They're already freed up by then, so. Yes. Six thirty to 7:15, two Sundays a month, will be worship team practice. The other Sundays of the month, we now have no dead stop time. That's one of our issues with Wednesday night, is we have to be finished by 7 o'clock because of all the Bible studies and RAs and GAs that are going on. So we now have an open-ended time that we can work on new music. The other thing that excites us is we now have the opportunity to bring the discipleship part into our worship team. And we can, every Sunday, sit together, open the Word of God, do a short devotion and spend some time in prayer, which right now we just are not able to do because of the time constraints. So we're excited about that opportunity. Correct. Justin's going to address that a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Quick question, Jeff. With all the excitement that you say that you have.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It was your son.
With all the excitement that you say you have about the opportunity, what fears or reservations do you have about it being an entire week before your team gets back together?
That is a concern, but that's how we operated at Fairfield West. We weren't able to meet through the week because they do their Awana on Wednesday night, and the youth also do their big weekly service on Wednesday night. So we were not able to meet through the week. So we just had to, by necessity, work on Sundays. And once everyone got used to it, it flowed pretty well. I'm leaving it in God's hands. Correct. We'll still have our run through every Sunday morning. Yes, ma'am. Anything else, Dwayne?
All right. Well, you mentioned RAs and GAs, and so we have been praying about that. We have met with the leaders in the children's ministry. So Justin, have some things that we're going to be talking about here as well. So I mentioned that on Wednesdays we have our Bible study going on. We are excited about that. But we need to mention with the RAs and GAs, one of the things that was a concern with RAs and GAs is that there was just not enough time to do the whole thing that needed to be done. So trying to work through some things, praying through some things, and actually there was some other things that came out I was just made aware of today, as some folks met about it as well. But RAs and GAs are going to meet on the first and the third Wednesday every month. Wednesday of every month. That is going to a 6 o'clock and an 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock format. That will allow them time to do everything that they want to do. And so we are working with the Cincinnati Association to bring the reality that the RAs and GAs are going to be involved with ethnic plants. We're going to do some mission projects with them. So Brian and Erica are both very excited about it. We're just excited about the mission projects. And there would be also the potential for the church itself to be involved with those mission projects on Wednesdays as well. We may say, you know what, hey, we're going to have service, but we're going to have service and we're going to be involved with the RAs and GAs because it is reaching to this ethnic plant or it's reaching to this particular people group. So these are the things that we're excited about. So saying all that to say this, we are also, we have looked at Mission Friends, considered Mission Friends, and we are incorporating what we are doing with Mission Friends on Wednesdays. We are incorporating that to Sunday morning and Sunday evening is what we are proposing to do. So, Justin, I'll bring you up to sort of add to anything that I need to add to this as well. What else would I say to that? What would you say? I'm sort of talked out.
No, you're good. So since they're doing the first and third of every month, one, it was easier for scheduling purposes. That way you're not trying to think, did I go last week or I didn't go last week? And we can put it on the calendar and everybody can go to the calendar and see when exactly RAs and GAs are. And then there's 5 fifth Wednesdays throughout the year, once a quarter. And so on those fifth week Wednesdays, will be some of those projects that Pastor Mark was talking about. We will, they'll do something separate. So when there is a fifth week, RAs and GAs will essentially meet three times that month because we'll do some sort of project. And then with Mission Friends, the majority of the missions education for the preschoolers will be implemented on Sunday morning during their Sunday school time because the curriculum that we use now, Bible Studies for Life, wraps missions into their curriculum, so it's very easy for them to bring that aspect into their Sunday school time. And then in the evening times, they're either in Awana, which Awana has a mission aspect to it as well, or they're in the Puggles area, depending on their age. So they're getting that still. It's just not technically called Mission Friends, but they are still getting mission education, which is what we want rather than just the title. So they're doing that. And the fifth weeks, RAs and GAs are excited about it. And I would just pray that you guys as a church get behind them as they move forward. And as Brian Carpenter looks and prays and works with the state to really move forward in this endeavor with missions education, because we have an opportunity to do some really great things. And I don't want you guys just when we say, hey, this fifth week on a Wednesday, we're going to meet here instead of at church. Don't look at that as a freebie to not do anything, but rather look at it as an opportunity to get your hands dirty and be the hands and feet of Christ rather than just being here sitting listening to somebody talk. And so I would hope that is our prayer and that you guys would get behind that with us as we move forward. So that's it for the children's ministry things coming up. Did I say it good enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold up, here's a question.
Yes, ma'am. On Wednesdays, it's just RA and GAs on the first and third, and then the other weeks will just be the adult general Bible study. There'll be no nursery and no Mission Friends on those Wednesdays. Correct.
And part of the thought process on no nursery on Wednesdays is this. We know we are embarking in this life group thing. Part of the beauty of that is that when people assemble together, they put things together for themselves. They get their plans worked out for how they're going to make sure that child care goes. And from everything I understand, these things go smoothly. They go smoothly for the families that are involved with it. And then it frees up the opportunity for our folks, our workers in there, to have an opportunity to be involved in discipleship themselves as well. So, and that's vitally important. We have staff members at times that cannot be a part of a Bible study because they are doing something else. And if we believe in discipleship, then discipleship is good for everybody.
That's right.
My granny used to say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So now whatever that means, I don't know, but she used to say it.
Yeah. Did he just say he goosed his granny?
Quick question.
Yes.
Has the leadership team considered, or is there a thought? I mean, because we have a tremendous children's program and outreach and all of that stuff with children. We have ones, we have RAs, GAs, which obviously takes personnel.
Right. Well, you know, obviously those are things that weigh in our decisions as we pray and think about what to do. Is how did you say it, Thad? It's something that we, you know, we're thinking about, but we don't see in the foreseeable future a move in that direction. You know, there's some distinctions that RAs and GAs do and Awanas do, and We recognize those distinctions, and we recognize that there's just certain things that both of them do well, and not really sure if both can be sort of blended together. Is that, would that be a good answer for you, maybe? That's what I'm thinking, or, okay. So that's where we're at. No, we're not going to say that it's not, but it's just not. There's great distinctions between both of them. And so we want to recognize those distinctions and try to work well with both of them right now. Okay? I will mention as well, we do have a Friday home group that Rick and Sherry lead every other week on the youth side. And we are in the process. Larry's going to come up next here after questions. But we have just a wonderful youth time, and I have not made it out there yet. I'm going to have to make it out to one of those studies just to see how it goes. But, Rick, how many typically show up on a Friday? 15 to 17 kids show up on Friday, and that's a wonderful thing. And they're opening their home and doing great things for the cause of Christ. So with saying that, on Wednesdays there will be no youth. We do know that there are projects that the youth do as far as drama. We've got a lot of great dramas things going on, so that open space would be able to be utilized for them to do that as well. So at this time, I'll conclude what I'm saying there to try to do my best to answer some questions if there's any questions. Yes, Susan. Yes.
Well, I don't know what Pastor Mark and Pastor Matt had in mind for that. My first blush, Susan, I would say if the facility can be open to our membership and if a place to take care of the children for the life groups is an issue, then we may be able to utilize the facility. So I don't know who would have to be present, what type of chaperone, what type of adult. And that's a little further down the road in our planning. That's a good question, but that's a little further down the road in our planning.
Typically, though,
child care is the responsibility of the small group.
And one of the, if I can just sort of flesh out, you know, these are just ideas that we're praying about, thinking through the council of many. You know, you come up with some good thoughts. But we have considered, you know, can we do the life groups here? And is there a possibility that we might be able to utilize some of our youth for babysitting care? I mean, there's a lot of openings here, and we want to be open and receptive to those things. So hopefully when we come to you with the finalization of this, it'll be a really good working understanding of what we're talking about.
We do utilize our facility for all types of groups, so I'm not saying that's out of the line of reason. You know, our seniors have a wonderful group, and they meet here in the facility. Right, right.
I wanted to throw this in, too, just for a little added emphasis. Cincinnati Area Baptist Association has over 3,000 missionary volunteers come in over the last 3 years. 3,000. And some of our folks here have ministered to them through World Changers and some other events. And Jack and Rose are involved with that. And I think Gail and Bob, you guys ministered to them last time, right? Was it you guys or ministered to them last time? Took care, made sure they were fed so they could go out and work hard, right? One Korean work, one Bernese. There's a possible Asian Indian project. There's a West African possibility. There's a Russian possibility. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. And anyway, all right. So, yes, Brother Arnie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they need child care, they are going to do a Bible study. And then you
I think that's a great insight to what you're saying. It's something that we've thought through and prayed about. My insight to it is this, that when we have Louise teaching, we have myself teaching something special, Matt or whoever, leading men's groups or whatever, that's when we see the younger side of the church come. If we don't have those things, we typically just don't see the younger families here on Wednesdays. And so, I'm sorry? Yeah. So what I believe, and I reserve the right to be wrong about this, but I think we need to explore this as an option. We're going to reserve the right. If this is not the right thing, we'll go back and doing things the way we were doing them. But what I still envision is that if these young couples are willing to come for special things, then we're going to do the special things. It just doesn't have to be here. It doesn't have to be on Wednesday. And we're going to, they're going to work out this child care piece. That's what we believe. So in essence, that's what we believe and what I'm trying to lead the congregation through. I understand your heart. I have a heart for these young couples because they are vitally important to the church. They're I'm sorry?
You don't hear about you in this church.
That's true.
Our strength in this church.
Yeah.
You look at our strengths. When you see that baptistry pool, this is the RAs, the Awanas, and our children's program.
Mm-hmm.
You look at your baptistry records.
Right.
It's been through our children. We need to keep a good, strong children's program here. To do that, you have to build habits.
Oh, just, no time. Yeah.
The two best habits you have in life are physically working out and attending church.
Mm-hmm.
You're eliminating a Wednesday night service for some young folks.
That's what it does.
Yes.
We're eliminating regular meeting with our missions education with that. But on top of that, there will be other Wednesday things to be involved. It's going to be a greater time to meet and get these kids with hands on. We're not taking away by not having our
Okay. Well, let me, I know we've got a couple guys ready to bounce here. Hold on a second. I think those are great insights, and they're ones that we've considered prayerfully, and we feel that we are doing our best and following the Lord in this. We feel confident that these are the right things to do. Is it going to work? It's an act of faith. If we keep things the same, it's an act of faith. And so, as the pastor, I love you all, and I think the world of you, and I'm asking you, let's move with this, and let's just see how the Lord fleshes us out and moves us ahead. So let's get Justin first, and we'll go to you.
I don't have a voice that carries very far, so I'll use this. The way that I'm looking at it and the way that that we've all looked at it as we've discussed and talked is not looking at it as taking something away, but rather transplanting it to a different time. So by having Sundays as our main emphasis for children in the mornings and the evenings through Sunday school and Awana and other programs, we're focusing on youth and children on Sundays, and then Wednesdays... We will still have that mission education portion of it, but the main emphasis will be those other groups that we're talking about. And then as far as if we got to look at historical trends just the way that we do financially, when Brent was standing here, you know, he used the word historically several times. And historically speaking, looking at Wednesdays, unless there's a specific women's study or men's study offered, those young families are using Wednesdays as family time or whatnot, and they're not here. There has been zero preschool age kids here for the last two Wednesdays straight. I've had a teacher show up, but no kids. And so historically speaking, the families are already using Wednesdays as Wednesday as family time to spend time together. And my goal as children's pastor is to equip parents to be able to disciple and train their children throughout the week, so that we aren't constantly providing something, trying to do that for the parents. And so on those Wednesdays that there's not something, we are encouraging families to do something with their family, because that's what we want it to be. And so the weeks that we do have something, it will be very, very special, very hands-on, like Brian talked about. And then the mission friends aspect and the nursery aspect, you know, I'm the one, the words came out of my mouth that said, even if we had a teacher, we still wouldn't do mission friends, just because we're moving away from that and putting that emphasis with the preschoolers on Sunday. Now, as far as how small groups will work, how the forming of those work, I'll let Thad talk to that, because that's probably in his plan. But I would say, historically speaking, there's not been that niche of preschoolers that have been here to partake. So.
But only when we do a men's and women's Bible study together.
Yeah, historically, it's only when there's a special class for women and our men that you will see. You may have one or two regular. And then when the class is offered, the attendance will rise.
Regular ones that come are staff kids and those who are working in RAs and GAs. Outside of that, none of our other church families are showing up with their kids on Wednesdays.
There's few.
Few.
On a consistent basis.
Yes, Faye. Well, right. Right. Yeah, we have conferred with them. I appreciate your passion on the issue, and I appreciate your insight. You know, how I would respond back to that is this is simply that, you know, there are things that we are called to do, and we're going to do our best to do them as we can. And Janessa, did you raise your hand? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, thank you.
Thad, did you?
Yeah. Well, she's pretty animated. We could let her teach. Chuck E. Cheese's.
Chuck E. Cheese, yes.
I just wanted to say to Brother Babs, I share your concern about young couples. And we're devoted and committed to them. We're not devoted and committed to Wednesday night. So if a young couple can get that kind of training and that kind of Bible study in a life group, that's been considered, and that's part of our goal.
And Arnie, you mentioned you're on second shift. Obviously, there's constraints that are to you. I early in my career at Kroger's, Brenda and I both were on second shift. It was great. We had three TV channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that's all we had. And so there wasn't a lot of other things to do other than just that little bit of TV and try to be involved with church. And so we did our best to do that. Let me go ahead and let's move to this next thing, and then we'll open up for some backlog on this if we need to. Larry is the you are the personnel committee chairman. You know, they say 10,000 words. I've went past my 10,000 words, but go ahead, Larry.
Thank you. Peggy and I can speak to the effectiveness of home groups or lifestyle groups. We were part of Thad's group for 5 years, and a lot of healing happened there, a lot of growth happened there. And I stand here today as part of the leadership team of this church, big part of the lifestyle groups. So anyhow, that being said, I'm the chairman of the personnel committee. Janessa Stillwagon is the vice chairman. And we're happy to tell you that we have a good candidate, a young man that we feel very strongly about. We interviewed Thursday night. He's been vetted by the pastors and some of the youth workers. I think Rick and Sherry were involved. The process is going to be the next few weeks he'll be coming to church, hanging out with the youth, visiting folks here. Some of you may know him. His name's Paul Adams. I think it was by PJ, and one of the things I was impressed by the young man is I kind of seek what their heart is in the interview time that we get. He has a dynamic testimony, and I really think he has the desire to connect teenagers' hearts with God's heart. So that was what was important to me. So we'll be introducing him over the next few weeks. He'll be teaching a class eventually. We'll be having a question-answer time downstairs like we did in the other candidates, a luncheon. And then the church can meet him, and then we'll be voting on him. And hopefully what the process is, maybe having him start mid-September, beginning of October. So any questions about the process? I would ask that you prayerfully pray for the process. This has been a burden on my heart all summer to try to get this thing going here, speed up, have a candidate. You know, when you're doing bio-vocational positions, it's a little difficult. That's what we have to offer. Paul's was a nursing student. He just graduated. He's working at Mercy Hospital as a nurse. He works three 12-hour shifts, so he's all 4 days. So that kind of fell into, that's great availability to work with the youth. He's getting married in November to a young lady named Lauren, and we're excited about that. And we just really feel good about him, and I think the pastor can echo that. But any questions about the process or anything? He's currently working with youth down at Reading Baptist Church. I believe his dad is pastor there. Did I hear that right?
His dad's involved with the music ministry.
Music manager. Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
I will add that with PJ, he will be here next Sunday for, I see some of our youth back there. So the opportunity to meet PJ and Lauren will be next Sunday. He's probably going to teach in a couple weeks. Then we're going to give it a little bit of a respite, and then have him come back for some other stuff and a sort of a meet and greet, and see how the church feels about him, because it ultimately is how we feel about him as a whole. You know, this is a big thing. We're calling him. If we sense that we're calling him, then we need to be supportive of him, even though you may not be involved in youth ministry. And so we'll say that. So I don't think I have anything else on my list. I think I've covered it all. I will say a couple things before we go. Yeah, there she goes. Get a clock on her. These are not in lieu of business meetings. This is not a business meeting. Business meetings are to be quarterly. We have had one and a half, technically one, this year. That is my fault. That is my bad. So don't blame anyone on the fact that we've only had one business meeting when we should have had technically two and going into the third one by this time. That's my fault, and I have to own that. So if you're upset that we haven't had business meetings, please let me know. We are going to, Susan, put that on my agenda. Business meeting will be set for next time. This is for us to have a good conversation, to communicate effectively, to bring the unity of the church together as we march and charge the gates of hell, because that's what we're going to do. All right? So at this time, if there's any further questions, we'll do our best to try to endeavor to answer them. Yes, Joyce? Yes. Well, that's a good question. Tony right now is candidating. So there's probably, and Brian may speak to it more. Should I even say that? Do I need to pull that away, Brian? Huh? Not a whole lot. Just pray for Tony. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that will all be vetted out very carefully. Yes, Bev? Okay, I didn't see your hand. Yes.
It depends. We talked with Pastor Matt and Pastor Mark, and I were talking about that. We're going to try to not do them both at the same time, but if we have a schedule where we have a ladies' and a men's Bible study simultaneously, or we have a couples Bible study, then we can, and I'm not sure, I know somebody mentioned it, but have the youth come in. And I think Janessa mentioned it, have them come in and watch the kids. The thing we have to watch out for in our nursery is, legally, we have to protect whoever's in there as well as the church. We have to make sure we have a certain number of people watching the kids based on the number of kids that we have. So all of that has to be vetted and watched out for. But we're trying to work so we don't have them simultaneously. And if we do, then we can, because the high school students are now not having a Bible study on Wednesday nights, we can then bring them in to help out with that if we need it.
Okay. And let me add this to this as well. You know, we had a calendar meeting. We looked at some things that we are doing in the not-too-distant future. One of those things is we are going to have a marriage conference, and we've got a date set on that. So during the time of Upward, and I don't know where Mark went off to. I guess he went with his daughter somewhere. He was up there. They must have ran off the roof or something. But see, when we do these Upward devotionals, some of you have been involved with the Upward devotionals. But we are going to do pretty much our own devotionals during Upward time. They're going to be focused on marriage. Some of you may be asked to give maybe your marriage testimony during Upward devotional time. But all these things pointing to the point that when we are complete with Upward and the 1,000 people that pass through here every Saturday, we can say, hey, we've got this marriage conference that we're going to do, and that will be a 3-day event. And so it'll not only be available, obviously, to the church people, but it'll be available to the people that come in. At that time, obviously, we are looking, we've got to really get a nursery thing together, and we will be doing a nursery event for that. I mean, does that sort of give you a little idea of directions, what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. All right, yes, Dale. And I will say, you know, we're talking about communication. So as we, when we come to the finalization of this, you know, who, how people are involved, how they're called into it, you know, what that all looks like, we're going to do our best to fully explain it in probably another meeting setting just like this. Yes. We're proposing to have them quarterly, and if needs dictate, you know, more, if needs, and I hope the needs do dictate more, because it's important that we communicate and we understand one another. And listen, some of you may be a little abrasive or a little apprehensive about the things that I've shared, and I understand that fully, and I recognize that, you know. If I have any anxiety, my anxiety is that I don't want to obviously hurt anyone. I don't want anyone mad. But I also have another anxiety that is stronger than that. And my anxiety is, the greatest anxiety that I have is us just not move ahead, not do what we need to do to meet the needs of this church and to meet the needs of this community as we go ahead. Yes, brother. Beth. We are bringing the kids in, Bev. Yes. Yeah, we're going to have them. We're going to have service for them, and then there's going to be special things for them. We're improving that. I hear what you're saying, but we are improving that. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying there, and we, again, we feel like we've done our best to answer those questions. But we're not denying their kids' programs. But we're not denying their kids' programs.
I'll speak to that. And Brian kind of said it earlier, and I'm not sure if you caught everything he said. But right now, the way that we do it is a disservice to the kids and to the program, because they get 1 hour, and they cut probably, 40 to 50%, if not more, of the program that they have to do every week because they don't have the time. So when Pastor and I sat down with Erica and Brian, they agreed that by doing it twice a month for a two-hour span would be a better way for them to express missions to the kids and do a better service for our children. Instead of them being there every week and getting this much compared to being there twice a month and getting this much.
Yeah, Yeah.
Amen.
And that's the families that are the ones that are involved with it. We all have our own experience, and so to negate someone else's experience is not. I just don't think it's not good, huh? Yeah, well, but we're telling you, Bev, that we're not taking anything away, and we can agree to disagree. We're not taking anything away. We're doing it the way that we feel led to do it, and this is what we're going to do. And so I would ask you, as my brother in Christ, I'd ask you to pray for us. I'd ask you to give it a chance. They're going to be taught. They're going to be taught. And the opportunity, by the way, for beyond just this what we do here, we're going to have opportunity for them to be involved in church works where it's a different country, a different nationality, where they'll be able to go and be a part of helping them, learning from them, learning with them. So, right. Yeah. Yes, Tiffany. All right. Yeah. Yes. Question? Okay. Oh yes, Sunday night there is youth. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I can have Susan do that. Yeah. Yeah. Susan, you still love me, right? Okay.
They're recording this
And they're this is being recorded, by the way. Uh-oh. Yes. And the importance of learning doctrine, the learning things mission oriented, is doing things mission oriented. Dwayne, I thought you said something. Thank you. Thank you. I think with that, yes, Rosie, I guess. We'll sure. Yes. Let's all stand. Rosie will be getting my manuscript next Sunday morning to preach. Let's pray. Father, again, I'm humbled. I know the things that we have shared are not easy for any of us. And Father, I thank you for the concern for souls, the concern for children. And I'm grateful that a question didn't come up regarding whether we were teaching the truth. We do teach the truth here. The format, the times that those things take place are up to subjection and the needs of the congregation, needs of the community. So I'm grateful for that. Lord, we want to see souls come into your kingdom. We want to teach your word. We want it to find root. We want it to see application, results in the lives of many, many people. Lord, our desire is to turn our little part of Jerusalem on its ear for you. So I know the road will not be easy, Father. It never is. But heaven never gives a great task without putting us through tribulation, turmoil, working out the dross in our life that the better things would come forth. I thank you for everyone here, and I thank you for those who are yet to come. Bless us. Bless us because only what you give matters. Nothing else matters. In Christ's name, amen.